models usually accurately indicate when a volcano will erupt?
Yeah, so there are a number of different systems for different countries in the world that use different alert systems with different levels and different meanings. But in terms of the New Zealand volcanic alert system, it ranges from 0 to 5, and it just indicates the current level of activity of an active volcano, but it doesn't indicate when an eruption will occur. So like 0 would be where there's no volcanic unrest, and 5 would be where there's a major volcanic eruption in progress. So it doesn't indicate risk, it just indicates what the current level of activity is of the volcano. So level 2, which is where it was when the eruption occurred, indicates moderate to heightened unrest, so there is potential for eruption hazards.
What triggers volcanoes such as the ones in New Zealand to erupt? So not necessarily unexpectedly, but so quickly.
Yeah, so the eruption that happened for White Island, it was obviously hard to monitor because of the type of eruption that it was. And this was made because it wasn't one of these molten rock-driven eruptions or magmatic eruptions. It was actually driven by steam. So this is where there might be some magma or molten rock that's at shallow levels in the earth that's heating up, say, groundwater or any water around, trapped in between little bits of rock in the volcano at the surface. And that heat and it causes those that water there to turn into gas and steam, and then it can obviously move quite fast in expansion and cause an explosion.
Mm.
So that's what happened in the situation last week, where we had actually an eruption that was driven by steam, not actually driven by this hot molten rock that you might normally expect.
Yeah.
And that's why it was so hard to really predict when it was going to erupt.
When we see volcanoes erupt, do we see more of these steam eruptions or more of the kind of magma eruptions that everyone kind of associates with volcanoes?
So you can get both. And there are a number of volcanoes in New Zealand that do see, you know, say if you might have a crater lake at the top of the volcano and you experience an eruption there, you might get some of these steam-driven type eruptions first before a magma-driven one. Or sometimes you only get these steam-driven ones, and sometimes you get them before magma-driven ones. So it really varies depending on what's the surface water and what's the groundwater that's available to drive these types of steam-driven eruptions. So all volcanoes really have the potential to create these, we call them phreatic, these steam-driven eruptions.
Do all volcanoes have the ability to create magma-driven eruptions?
Yes, yeah, so if the volcano is obviously a volcano driven by, built by magma and volcanic rocks, if that volcano is still active and we envisage that this magma or molten rock is still present beneath the volcano or maybe moving upwards beneath the volcano, then there is potential for an eruption that would be a magma eruption that you would normally associate with volcanoes.
Now, you mentioned they're active volcanoes, and this particular volcano that we saw tragically erupt last week in New Zealand was an active volcano, but there are lots of dormant volcanoes around the world, like Mount Kilimanjaro, for example. What does it take for a volcano to be declared dormant? And when they are, is it a guarantee that they'll never erupt again, or is it a pretty good indication that they'll never erupt again?
Yeah, so we have terms, a volcanologist uses terms such as active, dormant and extinct for a volcano to try and indicate its kind of level of activity, but it's a very general sense, and also some of these meanings are different to different volcanologists or different groups of people. But the one that I use, or my definition that I use, is the one provided by the Global Volcanism Program. So an active volcano there would be a volcano that's erupted since the last ice age. So in the last 10,000 years, which obviously sounds like quite a long time.
Yeah.
But some of these volcanoes, you know, they can live for millions of years. So 10,000 years is still not very long in terms of to see further activity. So a dormant volcano in that case, so something like Mount Kilimanjaro, would be a volcano that's not erupted in the last 10,000 years, but which may still erupt again, or we may expect to see another eruption from in the future. Whereas an extinct volcano might be one that no one ever expects to erupt again. But sometimes, you know, it's not a perfect system, and there have been eruptions from extinct volcanoes.
Wow. Do you think research can ever get to a place where we can accurately predict volcanic eruptions, or will there always be an unpredictable element to this natural occurrence?
So I think with the amount of technology, with the greater population of people to be closer to volcanoes that can witness eruptions, the technology and instrumental monitoring that we have, we're in a better place than ever to recognize the signs of increased activity and to then monitor and really try to understand when an eruption may occur. But if in the case of the New Zealand eruption in White Island recently, there's obviously challenges there where it's steam driven and it's not magma driven, because these things, we can't monitor them as and predict them as easily as we can with the magma driven ones. Mm. So it's much harder to track in that case, the warning for them. But there have been situations where obviously monitoring of volcanoes in very active situations, say Indonesia, and they've evacuated and they've actually saved a lot of lives. You know, there have still been fatalities, but the fatalities have been greatly reduced because the monitoring has been in place and they have managed to evacuate people in time before an eruption.
Mm. Heather, unfortunately, we'll have to leave it there, but thank you very much for joining us this morning and explaining some more.